Right now, a new study from UW-Milwaukee's School of Public Health is taking a closer look at tobacco disparities in Milwaukee's Black and Hispanic neighborhoods. Researchers looked at how tobacco is marketed differently depending on where you live in that city and how easy it is to get certain kinds of tobacco products in different neighborhoods. Linnea Lestadius is a public health researcher at UW-Milwaukee, one of the authors of this report. Linnea, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
And Obi Wabuzer is Director of Community Impact, Health Equity, and Multicultural Health at the American Heart Association and co-chair at the Wisconsin African American Tobacco Prevention Network. Obi, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Linnea, let's start with you about what you were looking to find in this study.
Yeah, so we know from studies in other major cities that there are significant tobacco disparities happening in how tobacco is being marketed. But nobody had formally looked at that in Milwaukee yet. So there was this general sense that, you know, this is probably happening, but we didn't have concrete data. So we set out to understand, what does the landscape for tobacco marketing look like in Milwaukee, and how is that different depending on where you live?
And what did you find?
Well, unfortunately, we found that it makes a big difference where you live. So partially, this is where tobacco stores are located. So there are just a lot more tobacco retailers in lower-income and minority neighborhoods than in higher-income, whiter neighborhoods. But not just that. In the stores, tobacco is marketed more aggressively in the stores in those minority lower-income neighborhoods. So things like putting cigarettes next to candy or having a lot more outdoor advertising for menthol cigarettes. So things that we know have an impact on young adults and children in particular.
And Obi, this is new research. I'm guessing it's not surprising research from the work you're doing.
No, it's not surprising. And when you look at the history of tobacco and it's targeting African Americans within the industry, it has a historical lens that goes far back beyond even, you know, when I've been born. During World War II, the tobacco industry marketed to the military and servicemen for their products, and cigarettes were viewed as a stress release. And they received meal packages for that. But perhaps when African American men were exposed to, they became addicted to the tobacco products. During that time, within 1920 and 1943, the annual income of African Americans increased threefold, from 3 million to more than 10 billion, making the population of those individuals an increasingly appealing demographic for the tobacco industry.
And can you talk about the impact of tobacco today in minority communities here in Wisconsin and beyond?
Yes, there's definitely a high increase. African Americans are targeted way more than their counterparts in regards to cigarettes, specifically menthol cigarettes, because there's an easier way to become addicted to them due to the taste. And the taste isn't as harsh as regular cigarettes. So the marketing within the industry, they target them to these populations. One, because there's a consumer base there. Two, there's a lack of knowledge and awareness and education around the use of menthol cigarettes as well.
And Linnea, you used kind of a toolkit. As you say, this kind of research has been done in other communities around the country. Can you talk about how that works and how Milwaukee stacks up next to some other cities that might have been researched in the past?
Yeah, so the tool that we used is called the STARS tool. So it's freely available online. So it's the Standardized Tobacco Assessment for Retail Settings. And it was developed by the CDC and the NCI and some other federal and state groups. And so we had people go out into stores, and it's basically a checklist. And so it's called a store audit. And, you know, you check out, okay, how much are cigarettes here? Where are the cigarettes placed? Is there menthol advertising? Stuff like that. And so, you know, unfortunately, I would say that our findings put us up there with, you know, the cities where this is struggling to even articulate. It's really not good news, to put it frankly. We are really seeing really strong targeting of these populations in the same way that you would see in other major cities in the U.S.
And a stark difference, you write in the report, between the more white, primarily white zip code you looked at versus the minority ones. A pretty big difference. Spell out how different those are.
So to give you one example, the sale of small cigars for less than a dollar. So you're really affordable tobacco product. 81% of stores in the African-American neighborhoods were doing this, compared to just about 50% in the white neighborhoods.
And how about the marketing for kids? How much more prevalent was that, as you said, cigarettes next to the candy, say, in the African-American neighborhoods versus the white neighborhoods?
Yeah, so cigarettes next to candy was just about, we found that in 5% of stores in the white neighborhoods, compared to 42% in the African-American neighborhoods.
And Obi, can you talk about that, especially the angle of tobacco products being placed next to candy, the marketing toward kids in minority neighborhoods in particular? Obi, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay. Yeah, so there's definitely a use of different ways to get consumers to come in, especially the youngsters. So tobacco companies use price promotions for one, such as discounts and multi-pack coupons, and branding giveaways such as T-shirts, lighters, and other little trinkets, even utilizing candy as a use of advertisement to get the youngsters to buy tobacco products, attracting low-income and specifically African-American customers. And then also looking at Milwaukee more closely, the promotion might involve receiving a gift for purchasing one item, involving different things of that nature, including the T-shirts and the giveaway. And while in the suburbs, it might require that you purchase two or even three times to receive the same promotion. So they're drawing people in by even giving away free things.
Talking to Obi Wabuzer with the American Heart Association and the Wisconsin African American Tobacco Prevention Network, and Linnea Lestadius with UW-Milwaukee, public health researcher there, co-author of a new study finding tobacco products targeted more strongly in minority neighborhoods in Milwaukee. Obi, you've been working on these issues on prevention of tobacco use among African Americans. What kind of changes would you like to see?
I would like us to really hone in on the products, banning the sale of candy-flavored tobacco products. You know, these are a few solutions that, with the American Heart Association and primarily the Wisconsin African American Tobacco Prevention Network, that we're looking to really hone in on this issue. And banning those flavored tobacco products from other states, cities, and municipalities, because they've done this in other areas. So Milwaukee needs to face it and continue to trailblaze like others, as well as restrict price discounts. So that limits how retailers can then sell these products to youngsters and individuals in the community. Restrict product placement so they're not at eye level inside of the youth. Restrict tobacco retailer density so that there are fewer tobacco retailers concentrated in the central city of Milwaukee. And restrict tobacco retailers from being 50 feet from schools, parks, and youth-serving organizations. We see rules with regulations and policies around that, around like having a gun on you, concealed carry. It should be the same around just as for tobacco products.
And Linnea, when other cities have had this kind of research, have there been changes like Obi was talking about, regulations on some of the things we're talking about, how much tobacco products are marketed?
Yeah, so other cities have definitely made strides here. So our neighbor Chicago, for example, have banned the sale of flavored tobacco, including menthols, within 500 feet of schools, which, you know, is a logical thing to do, given that these flavors are really targeting young people. The problem Milwaukee has is that we almost certainly can't do this because a lot of tobacco is preempted by the state. So a lot of these things that could be done locally, we can't do here because they're state powers in Wisconsin.
And Obi, are you reaching out to stores or chains of stores directly in addition to pushing for regulation?
Correct. The Wisconsin African American Tobacco Prevention Network has multiple committees, one being dealing with the housing, smoking in housing, and that just implementing that policy around no smoke housing. And then also we have a group that deals with single cigarette smoking, because that's also a problem where companies and retailers are allowing cigarettes to be sold outside of their packaging. So really tackling and honing in on that, and really getting them to understand that this is not allowed in that community.
And Linnea, what do we know about when kids are exposed to tobacco products, when they're marketed to them, how much of an impact that has on them smoking as teens, for example, and beyond?
Yeah, so we do know that the more children are exposed to tobacco in the store environment as kids, the more likely they are to start smoking as adolescents. We also know that for adults who want to quit smoking, it makes it harder if you go to a store and you're just bombarded with tobacco advertising. So there's a whole real lifespan effect of this advertising.
And Obi, you've been working on this issue for a while yourself. Is this report, are you hoping this report is a wake-up call for some kind of action on tobacco marketing?
Yes, definitely. I'm hoping that the community can start to become more aware of it. You know, there's one thing to do the research, but then there's one thing that we have to also go out and educate the masses and get them to see how big of a this is a problem within their communities, and how retailers are targeting them. They're targeting their health and social determinants of health, and really assessing the policies, systems, and environmental change around this issue is very pertinent to making sure that we decrease the percentages of individuals who are actually utilizing tobacco within disenfranchised communities.
And Linnea, Obi just mentioned social determinants of smoking. And I think a lot of times people think of tobacco use as an individual decision, a choice someone makes. How important is it in prevention to think about, you know, the design, where smoking is marketed, where just the layout of a community in determining who's going to smoke and who doesn't?
It's hugely important. I mean, ultimately, we make individual decisions, but those are shaped by so many factors. And I think if you break down the smoking statistics, that becomes really clear. So we've done a great job bringing down the smoking rate in Wisconsin to 17% average now. But if you break that up, it's 29% for lower-income people, 31% for African Americans, and 37% for Native American and American Indians. So there's clearly something going on here beyond just individual preference.
That's all the time we have now. Linnea, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having us.
And Obi, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
We've been talking to Linnea Lestadius from UW-Milwaukee, a public health researcher there, and Obi Wabuzer from the American Heart Association and the Wisconsin African American Tobacco Prevention Network. They're with us to talk about a new study showing the differences in how tobacco is marketed, displayed, sold in Milwaukee's minority neighborhoods versus white neighborhoods in the city.